This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 403 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me, the ever elusive Mr. Adam Davidson. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bruce?
Good. Mate, we've been threatening to do this for years.
I was on the podcast about 300 episodes ago.
Which episode was that?
The Echuca.
Oh, I was, yes, of course, Echuca. Man, that's almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit scary.
That's scary, because I was only looking at those photos a couple of weeks ago and saw that it was 2009 and just went, oh my God. Wow. So how have you been?
Yeah, just podding along, take the occasional photo. It's getting a little bit too cold and the weather's a bit unpredictable at the moment to get out and shoot.
I was thinking that you wouldn't be finding too many models prepared to get their gear off at this time of year.
There's one or two, but they're few and far between.
Yeah. So
all the travelling models are packed up and moved to warmer climates at the moment.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a dozen or so Melbourne models hanging around at the moment. Yeah, they're either got the flu or would rather not be outside.
Yeah. So what is the latest project that you're working on? Because I talked to Mike Holman and he said, be good to get Adam on, get him to talk about his latest project. So what was he referring to?
My latest one?
Yeah.
Good question.
Okay. Right. Excellent.
There's a few sort of things on the go at the moment. So I've just finished up 18 months shooting at Black Rock.
Yep. So I've seen a lot of those images on Facebook. Is that far from Melbourne?
About 20, 25 Ks out of the CBD.
Okay. So not far.
No, it's about 30 Ks from my place.
Right.
So it's rather convenient, but little bit painful when you've got to be there at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning for a sunrise shoot.
Yeah, right. Early start.
Yeah, so just the light there. Once the sun gets up above the cliffs, it isn't very flattering until late afternoon again, and then the beach is always packed.
Right.
Even at this time of year, the beach is quite busy in the afternoon.
So yeah, right.
We'll get in and get out before too many tourists come along.
Yep. And you had an exhibition recently of your art nude stuff, didn't you?
I had a group exhibition probably 12 months ago.
Right.
That was stuff that wasn't part of the Black Rock series.
Oh, okay. What do you call a group exhibition?
It was organized by a gallery, so they just asked for artists to submit work. So it was
12,
13 different photographers that had prints and sort of there was a couple of sculptures and other bits and pieces, all art nudie sort of themed.
Right. Was that 12 months ago?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Time flies.
Yeah, it was.
And was it good?
Little project. The only people that showed up were the photographers and the models.
Right.
Okay. So it's good to meet some other photographers and models, but as far as general public viewing and stuff, I think there's about six people.
Oh, okay.
Right. It didn't go very well, that one. So it wasn't well marketed and sort of it's in an industrial estate in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's not going to help.
No. Yeah. So it was a nice space, but.
And so your series of Black Rock images, are you planning on putting together a showing of that collective work or?
Yeah, the plan was to have it done late this year, but the gallery spaces have all been booked out.
Right.
So I'm probably looking at March or April before I can get in anywhere now.
Right. Wow.
So works well for me because it gives me a bit more time to save up the money to get all the printing and framing done.
Yep.
But, yeah, it just means it's going to be dragging out for nearly another 8 or 9 months.
Yeah. So how many images would you be thinking of getting printed and framed for that?
At this stage, it's 45.
Wow.
So
that's not a cheap exercise.
No, especially when they're all hoping to be 20 by 30s.
Yep.
So they're all quite large prints. But it's a couple of models on my wish list that I've wanted to include. So if I can get them in, then I will pick up the camera again and get back out to Black Rock just to get those last couple in. But
yeah,
at the moment, Black Rock's done and dusted. So
let's
got a cull 15,000 images down to 45.
How many images?
15,000 I shot there.
Struth.
So yeah, there's probably likely to be a book and maybe some other prints available once the exhibition's done. But
right. So when you say a book, it'll be like an A3 size book? Like a big coffee table book? Or?
Yeah, it'll be a coffee table book. But yeah, probably 3 to 5 photos from each model.
Nice.
So have a bit more variety.
Wow. Mixing
a couple of colour photos that I kind of like, but right, they won't fit the exhibition because that's all black and white.
Yep.
So, yeah, it just gives me a little bit more room to play around and share some more work and not have to worry about cloning anything out and censoring it to share it on social media.
Yeah. That must be frustrating.
It is, because it's a nipple. Like, it's not scary. It's not going to kill anybody.
Exactly.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Short of cloning male nipples onto all the models and all that.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Photoshop skills aren't up to the task, I don't think.
Right. Oh, dear. So should we look at some stories that have accumulated over the last couple of weeks?
I'm sure I've sent through plenty that we haven't talked about in the past. So
I've got 3 or 4 from you.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so the first one I've got, which I had also seen and I thought this was very clever, was Time magazine using 985 drones to create its latest cover. Yeah, this was really cool. This was on DIYphotography.net. And they've got a video of these 985 drones making up the cover of Time magazine. Must have been a hell of a thing to organize that. I mean, I'm assuming that they were not flown manually. I'm assuming that there would have been a lot of computer controlling of the drones, because you wouldn't have 985 people there to fly all the drones.
I was going to say, that'd be, if you've got nearly 1,000 pilots there controlling their drones, plus some spotters to make sure they're not crashing into each other.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coordination.
Yeah, but pretty awesome. And I love the fly through.
I don't think I have the patience to plan a project that big.
It's pretty epic. So what did you have next?
The only thing that sort of popped over my sort of feed this week was a Lego creator that's made a Hasselblad clone.
Right.
Is sending it off to the Lego creator group to see if they can make it a fully optioned Lego kit available to buy.
Right. So, I mean, you can't make the sensor out of Lego, so you'd have to ship it with a sensor.
No, I think that's set up to run medium format film, like a traditional...
Oh, it's a film camera.
Yeah.
Right. That is cool.
So, yeah, they've cut a glass plate to fit as the viewfinder. It's got the winder. It's got, you know, a mechanical lens with manual F's and everything on it. So,
wow.
Yeah. Wonder how far it's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I could imagine them maybe doing it as a limited edition release, perhaps.
Hopefully not with the Hasselblad pricing on it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. That is awesome. There's a video. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I haven't watched the video yet because I only found it half an hour ago.
Yeah, right. The Lego Hasselblad 503CX. Nice. All right. Well, I'll put that link in the show notes as well for the people that want to check that out. And talking of modded cameras, you had one from Petapixel. These modded cameras have sensors extracted for extreme cooling. This is rather interesting. Basically, these guys have modified these cameras and essentially moved the sensor forward.
They've pulled it outside of the camera body.
Yeah, right.
So, like, you know, with your extreme PC builds and stuff,
yep,
the sensors get hot or your CPU gets hot.
Yep.
And causes lots of weird, intermittent, unpredictable issues. So, if the... like astrophotography and those long exposures where they're doing hour-long, two-hour-long sort of things, they get a lot of digital noise from the heat in the sensor.
Yep.
So, yeah, bring the sensor outside the camera body and get some airflow onto it. And
very cool.
It's not a mod I'd be willing to make to my camera.
No, you'd certainly need to know your stuff. But the images that they've posted of the, you know, shots taken with a standard camera, you know, where the sensor has not been cooled versus the same camera with the sensor cooled, the difference is phenomenal. That's really impressive.
They just need to build a CPU fan or something to put it in the camera body, make it available to everybody.
maybe a miniature version of water cooling inside the camera.
Yeah.
like your PC has.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. For those that are interested, Central DS is the company, and they're currently selling a modified Nikon D850 for $4,950. Presumably these are American prices, which, yeah, given that that's a $4,500 Australian body, which would make it probably, I don't know, maybe a $3,000 American body, so taking it up to almost $5,000, it's about a 60% price hit. They've got a D810 for $3,680, Canon 80D for $1,950, 5D Mark IV for $4,750, and a Canon 200D for $1,450. Yeah, right. Wow. So I guess if you're really hardcore about wanting low noise for your long exposure stuff, and you're prepared to, sink that money, and be with that camera body for a few years, then it might be worth it. But yeah, big investment.
Yeah, I don't know if I could justify spending $6,000+ on a 5D.
Yeah. I guess, if that was your bread and butter, if you were trying to make, a living out of landscape photography and long exposure stuff, then, it'd pay for itself in time if you were selling enough images. But yeah, you'd have to sell a lot of images, I think.
I was going to say, don't see a lot of astrophotography pictures for sale. I don't know how big the market is.
Yeah, probably not.
Outside of scientific sort of interests.
Yep. Yeah. And the last one that you had was about the Nick collection. No longer free, but it's still alive.
Yeah, it's come back after, 4 or 5 years of Google having it and not doing anything with it.
Yeah, so DxO bought it from Google. I was going to say 12 months ago, but in reality, it's probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Seeing as how I seem to lose track of time. And so they've finally announced a revised version of the DxO suite, and that's coming later this year. It'll be priced at $69 from July 1st. So it's only a couple of weeks away as we're recording this.
So there was an upgrade option, I think, available, or like a pre-order that was saved $20, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Carl Hemmings sent us something over the last couple of weeks and said, "Hey, Bruce and Glenn, if you want a bit of a laugh, check out on Instagram, Why the Long Play Face. Enjoy." So this is another link. I'll put it in the show notes. It's an Instagram account of somebody who has photoshopped classic album covers with different people's faces and changed album titles, and there's a whole heap of album covers that are now Star Wars inspired. So that there's a version of Springsteen's Born to Run album where it's Harrison Ford instead of Springsteen, and it's Born to Kessel Run and things like that. So just a little bit of time wasting for those that are interested in music and photography.
You've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really good stuff there.
It's Jeff Goldblum as the Thriller.
Yeah. And there's one, Adele 91. I don't know if you've seen Adele 91. Yeah, it's very good. Dave Marland sent me an email and said, "Hi, guys, this one caught my eye. The work these guys had to go to assert their rights was extensive and the rewards not as great as the headline would like you to think. But they do detail the ups and downs of reclaiming their rights as photographers when their image was stolen for a product sold here in Australia and New Zealand. As usual, the lawyers got the biggest cut." This was on DP Review, a story of Tony and Chelsea Northrup, who, according to the headline, won a $40,000 image theft lawsuit, but I think in the end they only ended up with, I think they got less than half of that actually to themselves because the lawyers got the rest. So we'll put that link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out as well. I came across a guy called Stephen Wilkes who's done a project called Night and Day, and I'm have this vague recollection that a couple of years ago we might have covered this project on Shutters Inc. But this was a TED Talk by him explaining the whole process of how he came to put this project together and the lengths that he has gone to shoot these images. And essentially what it is he will set up a tripod and take literally hundreds of images over the course of a day and sometimes a day and a night, and then Photoshops all of these images onto separate layers and selectively chooses different parts of different layers to make this composite image that encapsulates both the nighttime and the daytime within a single image. It's just an amazing collection of work. And there was a great little bit that I really liked. Around the 10-minute mark in the video, he said, "The act of sharing has suddenly become more important than the experience itself." And he was referring to, you know, the selfie blight, if you want to call it that, where everyone's interested in just taking selfies and not really appreciating, you know, whatever the thing is that they're actually looking at. It's more about, here's an image of me at this thing. And then in the last 2 minutes, he talked about one particular image that he put together of animals passing through a waterhole on the Serengeti. And again, you know, he spent all day and all night there. And he was just amazed, even for someone who has done this project the way he has and the number of images that he's put together and the range of different things that happen over the course of a day in any given place, he was amazed at the quantity and variety of animals that all passed through this waterhole in a 24-hour period or 14-hour period, however long it was that he shot for. Yeah, the thing he said was all these animals, even though some of them are at, you know, different points on the food chain, they all understand that they have to share water. He sort of came away with the idea that the animals have got a better idea about sharing water than humans do, which I thought was rather telling. Highly recommend the video to anyone that wants to watch it. It only goes for about 12 minutes, but yeah, really good. Had you seen any of that project before, Adam?
I've seen the end photo of some of those day-to-night transitions, but I don't think I've seen the TED Talk.
Right. Definitely worth a look. So, and I saw something yesterday that I quite liked. This was on Canon's website here in Australia, a project by a couple of photographers called Girt by Sea, which is a reference to the Australian National Anthem. There is a line in our national anthem that our country is girt by sea, and for those who are not familiar with the word girt, it means surrounded by. And these guys basically spent 31 days in a small aeroplane photographing Australia's coastline from the air, and it's a great collection. This particular link is, like I said, to the Canon page. It's got a short 3-minute video that's a promo for the exhibition. The exhibition itself is happening at the Paddington Town Hall in Sydney between the 16th of June, which would be tomorrow as I'm recording. Yep. Yeah. So it will have been open for a day or so as this podcast comes out. And it's running for 12 days through to Wednesday, the 27th of June. It's free admission and it's open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So anyone who's in Sydney during that period, this might be worth popping in to have a look at. So
I've seen a fair bit of Tony Hewitt's work, and like he specializes in aerial photography, so
right,
I'd expect there to be some pretty epic images in there.
Well, some of the images that, you know, are featured in the promo video and are also featured on this page look great. So yeah, some nice stuff there. Anyone who's been looking at the Shutters Inc. podcast website over the last few days might have noticed that I've been experimenting with some different WordPress themes to try and update the look of the site. It's a work in progress, and it might still change a couple of times over the coming weeks as I try out different themes and find something that I think works best. But one of the things that I feel, now that I've started to go down this route of exploring, you know, the look of the page, it's occurred to me that it's a little bit silly that over the, you know, 13 odd years I've been doing this podcast about photography, that we are sadly lacking in images. And I don't know, I guess I've sort of taken the view that most people are listening to the audio. They're not really spending time on the website, you know, because they're getting the audio and they're listening to the audio in whatever time and place suits them. But I thought I want to make a little bit more of an effort to have images with every post that goes out on the feed. So I want to put a call out to all our listeners, wherever they may be. Send me an image every week of whatever you've shot. If you've shot something that you're happy with, doesn't matter if it's related to what we're talking about. I'd just like to receive images from people, and every week I'll pick an image and put it up in the show notes when they go out with the podcast. So, Adam?
Yeah, most of my work's not safe for work.
You can send me the censored version.
They still get removed. They're probably safe on your site because it's not Facebook or bloody Instagram. But
yeah.
I had a censored image removed last night after being up for about 30 seconds.
What?
Yep.
On Facebook?
Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Even though you'd censored it?
Yep. There was no nipples, pubes, anything that was offensive. And
what?
Their bots obviously picked it up and obliterated it.
Wow.
So.
Maybe you need a Tumblr account, mate.
looking at a custom website at the moment, because even Patreon and those sorts of sites have all cracked down.
Really?
Sex trafficking laws in the States.
Oh, okay.
Basically anything that deals with nudity has been linked to sex crimes, and what? They're just shutting everybody down.
Wow. Yeah.
So even the high-profile models and photographers that have been on Patreon for 2-3 years and having thousands of subscribers are getting their accounts locked at the moment. So
wow, that's harsh.
Yeah. Thanks, President Trump.
So maybe what you need to do is do highly cropped versions for social media and then link back to your own site to try and drive traffic back to your site to view the entire image.
Yeah, I just need to pull my finger out and get the website happening.
Does it need to be overly complicated? Could you not run it off something like WordPress?
It will be a WordPress thing, but yeah, I want to link in an online store so that people can buy prints and the book if it eventuates and
things
like that. And then maybe do a Patreon style thing where there is some images exclusive to people willing to pay up $5-$10 a month or something. So
yep.
Yeah, it gets expensive working with all these models.
So you're paying your models?
Most of the traveling models won't do anything for trade, even if they do have subscription-based websites and stuff that they have, just because of all the travel expenses they incur.
Sure.
But yeah, a lot of the local models are up for trade for those sorts of sites. So you can use it on your subscription site if I can use, you know, this select group of images for my exhibition.
Yep.
So I just try and keep my shots that I want exclusive.
Right.
And I can have free pick of, you know, 20, 30 of the other photos.
Right.
For own use, so.
Yeah, nice. Tough game.
Yeah, it's a limited market and social media keeps moving the goalposts on what we can and can't post. So
yeah.
Just constantly chasing your tail.
Maybe you've got to censor even more heavily, like big black blocks over there.
I've had them removed too.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It's like, how more obvious can you put the censor? It's like a whole black bar across basically from the belly button to the mid-thigh.
Yep.
And from the armpit just short of the belly button.
Wow.
And it's like everything there's covered in black.
Yeah.
Then what's offensive?
Exactly.
Like there's nothing left to see apart from a little bit of bare belly and some shoulder.
Yeah. A lot of double standards.
Yeah, definitely, because like the higher profile celebrities can get away with posting whatever they like.
Yeah.
They can break the internet and have it reported on mainstream news and then it breaks the internet again when everybody goes, look at this garbage photo.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share?
No, I had a really quiet week this week, so I haven't really found much photography related that's popped up.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm sure we're all keen to hear what Glyn's been up to this week. Hopefully he'll be able to talk about it next week.
He's been posting little teasers and hinting at bits and pieces, but yeah, he hasn't let on what that project is or what it's all about. So
no, I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
You might be able to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you talk about it, about how cold and wet and how early he had to get up.
How he missed all his morning naps.
Yeah. Now we have to put up with cold, wet, rainy shoots that aren't his comfort zone.
Yep. All right, mate. Well, thanks for stepping in this week.
No worries. I'm a Glyn replacement.
Yep. So where can people check out your imagery if they want to check out your work?
Easiest place is probably Instagram or Facebook. It's just Moko Imagery, MOKO Imagery.
Okay.
Beautiful. So, yeah, it's there until they get take offended.
And take it down. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'll put links to Adam's work in the show notes as well for anyone that wants to click through and check out what he's been shooting. Awesome, mate. Will you take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. No worries. Cheers. Thanks, Bruce.
Bye.
See ya.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.